CDC had to vote to assure that it's safe and appropriate to open it up for kiddos, and that was the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, and they voted it, all 14 said, yep, let's do it. That happened yesterday.
Great. So that was yesterday. It got approved, and now is so, and since there's no difference in the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine is already available here in Homer. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, there's a second dose clinic coming up at Homer High School. Is that tomorrow or Saturday?
The clinic at the high school is, you know, I don't even want to call it a second dose clinic. I think at this point, now we need to consider, or it's best to consider, any of the vaccine opportunities as simply vaccine clinics, because the state has allowed us and informed us that we can provide second doses even if we weren't the place that gave the first dose, or a first dose even if the person says they're not going to get the second dose from us. For example, they might be getting on a boat or a plane or whatever. So it's a vaccine clinic. It is Friday at the high school, but it is specific for high school students. So this isn't one of those mass pods open to everybody kind of thing. This one is specifically for high school, I shouldn't even say high school, for students, and it is absolutely open to the newly approved group of 12 years and up.
Dorotha,
so that will be
do parents need to be there and bring permission, and what time is that?
The event runs from 1 to 4, and it is in the green room at the school. And yes, guardian or parental authorization and consent is absolutely required. We understand at this late turnaround that not all parents may be able to attend. So in that case, your school principal or the hospital website has those consent forms that you could complete and send in. But also there's just the kind of the more regular vaccine opportunities that the 12 and up qualify for as well, such as the vaccine and testing site on Bartlett Street. That is a walk-in clinic daily, 12 to 5, and starting today, we will be providing vaccines for any of the FDA emergency use authorized groups, which for Pfizer, which we have, is 12 years and up.
Thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. While I've got you, there is an upcoming pop-up clinic at the Harbor. So is that 2 weeks from now? 1 week from now?
That is several weeks from now, Kathleen.
Oh, sorry.
So we just no worries. So we just had one on Friday the 7th, and that went great. That was really our first kind of specific location pop-up event. It was out at the Harbor for 4 hours and had dozens of folks participate and get vaccinated from locally and throughout Alaska. So that was awesome. And we will be doing another one on Thursday, May 27, as a way to kick off the Memorial Day weekend. That's always a busy weekend out on the Spit, and looking forward to providing vaccines out there on Thursday, the 27th.
Thanks, Dorotha. And Nurse Lorne, is public health headed over to Seldovia for a clinic?
Hey, we just got back from over there. We teamed up with
South
Peninsula. Oh, it went great. Thankful for good weather. And I think we gave about 17 shots. And to the best of my knowledge, that's the first time we've teamed up with South Peninsula Hospital for a project like that. There was four of us. We went over on a water taxi and then get on the road and met up with 17 different folks who, you know, when thinking about a population of 400, 17's not that many. And it's not that many because Seldovia Village Tribe and their clinic have been giving vaccine all along. So, yeah, we gave some Janssen and some Pfizer, and we plan to go back on June 1st or after.
Thanks. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask Dorotha and Nurse Lorne to sort of orient us in terms of trends in positivity and rates in case rates and in rates of vaccination. But I have a question. So, well, I guess it's someone trying to find out if what they've heard is correct. So get ready. Mm. Nurse Lorne, I think this one is for you. I've heard the vaccine doesn't contain the virus or even drugs, that it's a catalyst to make protein that gives your body a practice test for COVID, so that then if you get COVID, it knows what to do. Is that a fair assessment of what happens for the vaccine?
Ooh, that's a little an outline that's probably mostly correct for the mRNA vaccines, but as stated, probably not true. And the mRNA vaccines don't alter DNA. That's a big misconception. I want to highlight that. And then the Janssen vaccine, it works a little bit differently. It's a viral vector vaccine, so that's a different mechanism than the mRNA vaccines, which we've been studying for several decades now.
Okay, thanks, Nurse Lauren. So let's start locally. Dorotha Ferraro, I'd like to check in on case rates and how many cases are being detected lately through South Peninsula Hospital's COVID care clinic or COVID care center at 4201 Bartlett Street.
Well, our numbers remain low but steady. This week we have resulted five positives. So that's up a tiny bit over last week, but nothing alarming or concerning. The school district is still in the yellow. I'm opening that up just to make sure. But yeah, so five new cases this week that have been reported through our testing.
Okay, and Nurse Lauren, can you open that up for the state? What are the trends in the state right now? Because I'm about to start asking you about breakthrough cases for vaccinated people and the variants that are in the state. So can you give us an overview?
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure thing. Kind of when trying to paint the picture that answers the question, where are we? There's really kind of three things to look at. One would be where are we at with vaccines, vaccine coverage? Secondly, where are we at with case rates or the ones that have been reported, how's that doing? And then the last one is positivity rate. So maybe I'll do that in reverse order. The positivity rate, all the tests that have been done statewide, that rate of positivity is about 1.7. And that's really good. We really want the positivity rate to be under 5%, because when it creeps up above 5%, we know that we're missing a lot of positive cases out there, and that's indicative of a lot of activity. But in terms of statewide case rates, the state overall is in a high alert level. So that means there's widespread of COVID-19 right now. And we're sitting at about 13. And so that's roughly the same that it's been over the past several weeks. And four regions statewide remain in a high alert status. But down here in Kenai Peninsula, we're in the intermediate range, and we're sitting at about 8 or 8.1 or 2. And that's down from a recent couple of weeks ago. And then down here on Southern Kenai Peninsula, we've had a grand total of 728 cases. So that's roughly 5% of the population.
So
So that the thing to highlight there is getting vaccinated is the best way to get to herd immunity.
so that's that is up from the last time we spoke, the 5% rate, I think. I do want to talk about variants because at the Homer City Council meeting on Monday, Nurse Lorne, you had said that there were 183 cases detected of variants of the virus, and that was up from 50 from the last week. So first of all, can you one you said something really interesting at that meeting that I'd like to hear from you, that you're counting them now, but at a certain point it will become inefficient for you to continue to count them. Do you know, am I making sense? Do you recognize what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, that's ringing a
Okay.
bell. In regards to the numbers, they actually haven't changed yet because those report out on a weekly basis. So we'll probably see a new report today or tomorrow. And so yeah, you've got it. You hit it right there on the head. As we've had 183 reported and sequenced variants that we know of. And I want to change something just a little bit. That's up an additional 52 from the last reporting period. So from in the past week, we've had an additional 52. And the idea here is these are probably going to spread to the extent that they'll be the most popular set of variants. And when that happens, the energy and time and lab resources it takes to sequence those won't make any difference in terms of how we mitigate the disease.
Okay, and how many variants have been detected? When you say variants, are is there how many are there in the state that are not that are new?
Oh, that's a good question. The literal answer is there's probably hundreds, but we've got five what we call variants of concern that we're really keeping a close eye on. And these are variants of concern because we've known them to exist in other areas of not only the nation, but globally, and they've persisted in terms of their ability to transmit from one person to the next. But the B117 and the B1429 are kind of the two that are popping up with quite a few cases, 60 to 100 of those known. And then the P1 is sitting at 11, and that's only up two from the last reporting period.
And you expect, and the vaccine responds to these variants in the same way, or is it not, are you not as protected?
That's a great question. We'll know more about that in the future, and that's something that we're watching very closely. But up to today, it's very evident that the mRNA vaccines and the Janssen are, effective in preventing these two. So some protection is better than none at all. But we'll know more about that in the future.
Thanks so much. I'm going to get back to you regarding breakthrough cases in just a moment. And Jenny Carroll, heads up, I'm coming to you to ask about emergency broadband also. But Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, you have positivity rates for the local area?
Well, I have it specific for the hospital testing site. So again, we test daily, 9 to 6 p.m. at the testing and vaccine site on Bartlett. And that's for a variety of reasons. Remember, folks come there for, employment reasons, just that's part of their mitigation strategy for some workers. Maybe they have symptoms, maybe they were exposed. You can even go there and test because maybe you went to a large gathering and you just kind of feel uncomfortable and you want to go get tested and check it out. So there's lots of reasons that folks test. A very popular one is pre-procedure screening. That is still a requirement for many and most healthcare procedures to get tested. Anyway, our current positivity rate is 2.2%. So to respond to you, Kathleen, yes, that is up a touch from last week when we were on the radio, but still within that threshold that Lauren spoke of.
Thanks so much. And Nurse Lauren, about breakthrough cases, which, just to explain ourselves, those are COVID cases that are detected after a person has had their vaccine.
Hey, you got it.
Okay.
That's the definition of a breakthrough case is someone who pops up positive. So they submit a specimen and the lab result is positive after they're fully vaccinated. And fully vaccinated actually means that you've received all the doses in the series. So you've had the one shot for Janssen or both doses for the other two, Moderna and Pfizer. But you've also had at least 14 days for your immune system to create immunity. So after that 14-day mark, when you pop up positive, that's called a breakthrough.
Okay.
And
Oh, go
we're
ahead.
sitting at 281 cases. That's a grand total bottom line, and that's a breakthrough. That's really, during, I've said this once before or more, but in a pandemic when not everything's going our way, those breakthrough numbers being so small, that's a great thing.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. So, Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, I want to ask you about a new program, the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program. Do you have information on that?
I do. Yes. Thanks for the opportunity. Yesterday, the FCC, or the Federal Communications Commission, launched, like you said, the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program. And what that program does is it provides temporary discounts on monthly broadband bills for qualifying low-income households. The goal of the program really is to connect families and households who are struggling financially from the pandemic to be able to afford internet, to connect to job, offerings and listings, telehealth, educational classes, all those services that are really critical these days and that are more and more being offered online. So the outline of the program basically is that the FCC is providing a $50 a month discount for broadband service and any equipment that the household has to rent to be able to utilize that broadband. And if you're living on tribal lands, that monthly discount goes up to $75 a month. They also offer a one-time discount of up to $100 for a purchase of a device through your participating broadband provider, in case you need that in order to access the internet and have a device on which to do work. So there's a list of eligibility criteria that's based on income on their website. And just want to say that the other detail is that it's limited to one monthly service discount and one device discount per household. You can go to the City of Homer website, cityofhomer-ak.gov. There is an article online there about the program and links to the program's website. If you don't have broadband and you need to call, there is ways that you can apply. You can contact your preferred broadband provider. So whoever's you're getting your broadband from or you would like to get broadband from, you can call them to learn about their application process, because you can apply through your provider. You can call 833-511-0311 and receive a mail-in application. There is an online place where people can apply, and you can also apply through your broadband provider. My understanding is a little bit limited on the details of the program since we're not running it, but I believe that the payments go to the participating broadband provider and get discounted from the customer's bill, I believe. So that is how the program works. It's open until the funds are exhausted or 6 months after the federal government declares the end of the pandemic emergency. So that's the details I have. There's more online. There's links to frequently asked questions and the application process, as well as the income criteria. Essentially, income is limited to a certain amount, or if you are a family who has experienced a significant amount of income loss because of the pandemic year, those households also qualify. Thanks. What else can I tell you about that? Anything?
Well, I would like to hear about, I actually have a question in my email to ask about Sleeves Up, because I definitely heard you talking about it at the last city council meeting. Sleeves Up is the state's initiative to raise the vaccination rates to 75% in the state of Alaska. And so this question is from Donna. Can the city do a lottery where people get vaccinated to win a prize? Are there any plans for, I guess the real question I'll ask then is, yes. Well, it's a real question. Thank you for your question, Donna.
Yes.
But what I guess the way I would phrase it is, will the city be offering any incentives for people who get vaccinated?
Well, let me start. Yes, possibly. We don't have plans for it now, though. We're exploring that option as a way of just helping folks get in and get that vaccine and thank them for that. The city wouldn't necessarily be offering them through city funds. There are some state funds available for a program like this that we are exploring with partners to see if that's something that we can include as part of the overall vaccine program in the Southern Kenai Peninsula. I would go back and touch base a little bit on the Sleeves Up. The Sleeves Up, for those of you who don't know, the state is running a program called Sleeves Up for Summer, and it is an attempt to get as many Alaskans vaccinated and create business and community support, because in our summer, we want to go out and have fun and do things with our friends on charter boats, on our own boats, and we want to have successful business seasons when we have a lot of visitors here. And vaccination is one of the ways that we can really keep our economy up and running, keep people on the job, not have to quarantine if you come in contact, or worse, lose precious work days this summer. for being out sick with COVID-19. So it's really an attempt to support the Alaskan economy as best we can by having people get the vaccine and be a lot less likely to get COVID-19 or to have a lot of shutdowns because things are getting out of control again. So that's, we're participating with the state as a partner in that program. We are, all of our events and the walk-in clinic, we are, you know, we are behind the sleeves up campaign, and the state is reaching out to see how they can help support it in all the local communities across Alaska. So thanking the state for their help in this. And so we, yeah, sleeves up, and let's have a great summer.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. The next question comes from Jean. Jean says, can I now be unmasked outside if I am vaccinated? Nurse Lauren, can you go over a little bit of that?
Oh, I guess I would say it, in most scenarios, the answer would be, yeah, sure thing. Enjoy the sun and enjoy being outside. But with every situation, I guess I would say, too, it's important to do a careful analysis or take a look at risk. So if you're hanging out with someone who's particularly at risk for a very bad outcome of COVID, probably good to go ahead and mask up and have that person mask up as well. But yeah, the general rule is if you're fully vaccinated, meaning it's been a couple of weeks since you've completed the doses, yeah, you can be outside without a mask for sure. Great
Thanks.
Benefit of getting vaccinated.
Excuse me, Kathleen. I would like to add a few kind of, you know, special situations that are even coming up here in our local community. When there are big events that are on public, in or on public lands that required the sponsoring group to submit a mitigation strategy in order to reserve the spot or the land for the event, those mitigation strategies were pretty detailed when the event got approved. So I will use the Safe and Healthy Kids Fair, for example. This Saturday, we will host a Safe and Healthy Kids Fair at the high school parking lot. And when we reserved, we, the partners who are sponsoring it, when we reserved that location as our event, before we got it approved, the school district who manages that facility and site had to review what is called a mitigation strategy. And that is all of the details and guidelines that your event will follow for to be COVID safe. And so when those strategies are put in, they are based on the current temperature of the pandemic. So for example, when we reserved the high school for the Safe and Healthy Kids Fair, we have in some pretty solid mitigation strategies, such as all participants will be masked. So the guidelines for this Saturday's event, even though it's an outdoor event, and even though you might be vaccinated, not everybody at that event might be, and they might be at high risk, or they might not even be eligible for a vaccine because of their age. So in that case, everybody will be asked to mask to come to the event, even though, what are you talking about? Public health just said, have a mask on when I'm outside, but you're at a public event that has others attending. And so just really thanking the public for understanding how some of these messages are contradictory because they are in very specific to that event or that environment.
Thanks so much for making that point. I want to stick with you, Dorotha. I'll be back with Lauren and Jenny in a minute to ask for final comments. But since we're here at the end of this half hour, I want to make sure everybody knows about where and how they can get a vaccine today and in the coming days. And I want to preface all this by saying that if you have any questions whatsoever, if you just want to talk about the vaccine or you want to talk about symptoms, or if you want to make an appointment to come in, or if you, for any reason, you want to talk to a COVID nurse, you just call 235-0235. And that is the COVID care line for South Peninsula Hospital. And I'll be checking in with some more numbers to call for information in a few minutes. But Dorotha, can you wrap up with us on just where in the next few days that a person can get their vaccine?
You bet. come today at noon. We open at noon on Bartlett Street at the COVID test and vaccine site, and no appointment necessary. Or you can go online to sphosp.org and make an appointment. And again, we do have Pfizer, and Pfizer has been emergency use authorized for 12 years of age and older. We also have Janssen there. And if you call and talk about it in advance, we can arrange for Moderna to be there. So no matter what your need is, whether it's first or second dose, single dose, or 12 and up, we can help you there. Open 7 days a week. Family member can also get tested if they need to, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you would like a different location, the Homer High School for students only on Friday from 1 to 4 in the green room. And that is specific for students. And Kathleen, while I have the microphone, I just want to say that visitation at the hospital has been relaxed a little even more, so that if you are hospitalized at South Peninsula Hospital, the visitation guidelines now are 2 visitors per day, and it does not have to be consistent designated visitors for your whole stay. It can be two different people each day. So relaxing those, as well as over in long-term care, those are relaxed even further as well. It still remains by appointment, but the number of folks per resident have increased as well. So happy to be moving towards more and more visitation while you're hospitalized or at the nursing home. Thank you.
Thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Is there anything you'd like to add this morning?
Oh, I guess just 2 quickies. A lot of the folks are moving around a lot in May and June. So if you were to Google Alaska Sleeves Up, you'll find a calendar of events. And you'll see dozens of opportunities all over the state to grab a vaccine, and also for your kiddos 12 to 15. So that might be something to consider if you're up in Anchorage or further north or even out to the east. You could consider getting a vaccine while you're on the road. And lastly, I guess I would just say that the governor said it, you know, best. Vaccination's a choice. It's not going to be mandated here in the state, but we hope you'll consider it. And that's the greatest way to get Alaskan businesses back open and do all the things we love to do as Alaskans. Thanks.
Thanks. That's Nurse Lauren Carroll.
Won't you be at the fair on Saturday?
So, Dorotha, are you asking Nurse Lauren if he's going to be at the health fair? Are you going to be there on Saturday?
Yeah, I was just going to so if anybody wants to talk vaccines, there will be a vaccine information booth at the Safe and Healthy Kids Fair this Saturday.
Oh, hey.
And that's 12 to 2 at the Homer High School parking lot.
Thanks.
And masks are required.
Thanks so much. And Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, have we left any information out from the city?
Not that I can think of. I think we covered it all. I don't really have anything to add.
Great. Well, this has been the regular Thursday COVID-19 brief. Thanks to Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, and Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. And thanks, everybody. Everybody have a terrific day. This is KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:31 a.m., and let's have a dance break. I'll be back with the weather shortly. Oh, stand by. Sometimes things become unplugged. Now we can bossa nova.